This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Here we are, first Saturday of a brand new year, and if you are having issues with your car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what's ailing before you bring it in for service, here's a guy that's going to give you a little analysis over the radio. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Happy New Year, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
So I think we're both dealing with, like a lot of folks, either allergies or a minor cold issues, but I guess it's part of the drill here when we're inside so often. But I hope you're feeling better. I was looking at I saved a note from last week's show, like we like to do from time to time. By the way, if you have any car care question, I will give you our number. You can call and chat with Nick, or you can send Nick a text, whichever is easier. That number is 651-461-9226. But keep in mind, Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later. Getting back to that text, and I just made some notes here, it was something we talk about from time to time as far as a job as a certified mechanic. We have a lot of great trade schools, as we mentioned from time to time around here. And a lot of folks, a lot of parents, grandparents listen to the show, and their grandchildren or children, considering maybe a career change, maybe a different direction for college instead of, again, trade school. It's a good job. It's a good job, we always mention. But are there jobs available right now as far as technicians or mechanics?
Absolutely there is. If you look online, you'll see a lot of help wanted, a lot of growing shops out there. And you mentioned the trade schools are a alternate path, and I think it's the only path, honestly. It's a much more affordable path in life. You know, it's a two-year school program for mechanic or automotive repair. You get out with not as much debt as you could have going a different route, and you get started right away, and you know, you become a journeyman per se. You know, you have somebody helping you out and showing you the way through the day and through the cars, and you know, after a couple of years, you could be making a very livable wage, provide for your family and retirement, and you know, you get started a little bit earlier in life is another good angle too. You know, 2 years out of high school, you could be fully employed full time with a bit of an education.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I wonder how, if someone is just thinking about it, what kind of an aptitude do you need? I mean, do you need to be some whiz at math? Do you need to be able to take apart a Swiss watch? You know what I'm saying? I mean, how does one know, you know, I might be able to do this? What's the first step for somebody who's thinking about it?
You know, reach out to one of the schools, two of the schools. If you're a a curious person. You like to work with your hands. You know, I always say I work better with my hands than with my head. partially true and partially a combination of the two.
Sure.
But I think if you have that aptitude or that curiosity, it's the first step. But reach out to one of the schools, take a tour, ask some questions, see what's going on inside of those schools. You'll be surprised to learn. You know, we always had that portrayal of the grease monkey and everything's you know, dirty and heavy and hard. And, you know, there's some of that, but there's a lot more computerization, a lot more programming, a lot more technology in cars these days. So it's the trade has changed, not entirely. You still have to take apart and fix things, but it's evolved with the technology and it's gotten a lot more interesting.
You know, that's interesting you put it that way, because in my many visits to Lloyd's Automotive, with all the bays there, it's a very neat place. You're right. Nobody's walking around with smudges on their faces and all that. It's a very, granted, your crews get into, you know, the real work, but it's a very neat and clean place, right?
Oh yeah, it's definitely evolved on that front. And the other piece, it's quieter too. You know, we used to, it seemed like it used to be so loud and obnoxious, true. And now it's definitely changed. You know, cars have evolved, technology, tools, you know, there's a lot more electrical battery power tools and all the loud air tools. So it's always changing, I can tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. 651-461-9226 for your phone call or text. Any kind of a car care question that's on your mind. I'm looking at the first text here. What is Nick's opinion, and we get this from time to time, of the stop-start feature on the new vehicles when it comes to a stop? What do you think of that whole thing? I don't have it. But I don't know if I'd like it.
I think a lot of us that have a few more gray hairs don't like it. However, I think it's a really good feature. You know, they've done studies and they've realized that the excessive amount of emissions coming from the tailpipe are at idle. So while we're sitting at a stoplight, we're emitting a lot of emissions of the atmosphere, which isn't good for the atmosphere. And they figured if they can shut the vehicle off and during those few moments of our drive, it saves a lot. So it can be frustrating, it can be kind of annoying if you're not accustomed to it, but I promise and assure you that it's really good for the environment. It's helping us have cleaner running vehicles.
Yeah, well, again, we do get that from time to time, and I'd be interested in hearing from folks who have that feature, if they do indeed like it. A texter wants to know, just you personally, and be honest, they say, how much do you warm up your vehicle if it's outside in cold weather? What is your routine with the time? 30 seconds, 3 minutes? What would you honestly do yourself?
You know, the truth is my truck doesn't fit in my garage, so it is outside. Or if the plow's on it, then it's really outside. I will remote start it, put my boots on, go out, hop in and drive. So it's a minute or two at the most. You know, if there's snow or ice on it, it takes a couple more minutes to clear that stuff. But I don't... And also, I rarely wear a jacket. As people probably know, I'm always hot, so it's I'm a little bit different than most. So I wouldn't use me as your gauge, but I can, you know, start my vehicle hopping and be just fine.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter says, here's a 2017 F-150 4x4 has a rattle towards the back. It only happens under light acceleration around 1,200 RPM. Cannot find any loose exhaust parts. Could it be a U-joint? Any ideas? A rattle.
Yeah, my first thought was exhaust, because what we have is that you notice it under a load or a certain RPM. It's not the exhaust. I wonder something with the suspension. I don't think a U-joint would really rattle, per se. You know, I guess if we had it in the shop, we would try to, you know, put a little weight in the back of the vehicle, try to, you know, shift the weight, you know, the load on the vehicle, on the suspension a little bit, try to determine what that is. It might take a couple people going, you know, maybe you have to go through the parking lot, somebody sit in the back to try to determine the source of the noise. It'll take a little investigating, but I think if you take it in, give them that exact information under this load, under this circumstances, I notice it. And see if they can't get to the bottom of it for you.
Yeah, you said an important thing we mentioned from time to time. The more information you can give that repair person or the writer, service writer, whatever, the better. The more, yeah, don't hold back anything. Just whatever you can think of, tell that person. It may save a little time and certainly a little money. Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break and be right back. I want to make mention weather-wise, we're pretty clear sailing today, 21, mostly cloudy. But tomorrow it could be iffy for your Sunday. Freezing rain and sleet likely, becoming all sleet after 2 in the afternoon or so. The high will be around 28. Pretty good chance of this precipitation. They're saying 70% chance of freezing rain and sleet likely. So it could affect your drive tomorrow, and doubtful it will affect Monday, although mostly cloudy. 33 is the high on Monday. Even warmer this coming week. We'll talk details coming up at the bottom of the hour with our forecast. Right now on CCO, it's overcast, 16 degrees on 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive every Saturday, right after the 7 o'clock news break. If you're having issues with your car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what could be ailing, call us or text us at 651-461-9226. We were talking about that stop-start feature on newer vehicles. And I'm not sure this is true for all vehicles, but a listener, we have so many smart ones. The stop-start feature can be turned off, he or she says, but it has to be turned off before each drive. Do most cars who have that feature feature that one?
Yeah, you can. I believe most you can disable it each drive cycle. So that means every time you start the vehicle, you have to disable it. I believe it's in every new vehicle or most new vehicles, and it's kind of annoying, but you have to adapt to it, adjust to it. It'll be fine. It's, you know, I understand the frustration. You know, I'm of that vintage. It's like, I don't like it. I want to know my car's running when I want it running. But
yeah.
It's a good thing. It really helps with emissions. You know, like I said, a large or a majority of the emissions coming from our vehicle are at idle, so we can minimize those. That's good for everyone.
And, of course, we always get questions, the follow-up questions. Is it harder on the battery and starter and all that stuff?
You know, it's been around, I guess, long enough that I would say it doesn't affect the, or hasn't affected the starter from my knowledge. The battery, maybe to some extent, but in that same breath, I would tell you that the batteries have changed the technology. They have these glass mat batteries, which is a little different technology that helps prolong. They might cost a little bit more, but I think the trade-off is probably well worth it. I understand we want to be wise with our pennies,
yeah.
But we need to be wise with the air, too, and I think that's probably a fair trade-off.
Nick, we have always get new listeners, and we appreciate that, but folks that who may need the help from Lloyd's Automotive, always like to ask you, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. As you know, if you have a question, you don't have to bring the car to us, but if you need a little information before you take it into your dealership or shop, give us a call. We'll help you. 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. It's two blocks east of Lexington Parkway on Grand and Chatsworth. If you're looking for more information, you can find it on our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
And we'll give you that info before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. All right, we have texted some folks to help out here, Nick. Here's a 2017 Honda Civic, 1.5-liter direct injection, just hit 100,000 miles. How often should the air intake valve be cleaned to minimize carbon buildup? Done the spark plugs with NGKs and do regular 4,000-mile oil changes. No issues at all. Thanks and Happy New Year. Good for you. Happy New Year to you. What about that, and what is this texture talking about? Air intake valve being cleaned.
So, you know, there's always evolution in technology, and they've learned that they can get better fuel economy, more power, more bang for your buck if we have the fuel injectors directly ported into the combustion chamber. Port injection, which is what we had for decades, is where that fuel injector is on the outside of the combustion chamber, located behind the intake valve. So when the fuel injector would spray the gasoline, that gasoline would hit the back of the valve, cleaning it from any carbon or buildup over time. With not the technology we have now, there's not that fuel injector on the back side of that valve to keep it clean. So over time, it does build some carbon. That carbon can get thick enough as a buildup to restrict airflow, which can create some drivability issues. There isn't necessarily a mileage that they're recommending to do that at. You know, there are products you can use maintenance. You know, 100,000 miles kind of sounds good. It's a big round number, and If you're going for that service interval where there's a bunch of other maintenance items to have done, talk with them. It might be a good recommendation on your vehicle. Inquire to see if your vehicle has issues with the carbon buildup, because it's not every brand or make and model. There's only some that do have some issues with the drivability, with the excessive buildup. So do inquire. There is products out there as maintenance can kind of help keep them clean. If your vehicle is having problems to the extent where it's idling poorly, you have poor acceleration, that might involve some disassembly and some repair. But if you're on the maintenance side, I think some of those products are very good. Check with your dealership or your shop. But I do think that that 100,000-mile interval seems like a good time frame.
All right. I'm looking at a text, and I'm not sure if some folks are able to just verbally speak in and then it sends a text, or if they actually are typing this. And maybe you can help me decipher this, all right? And maybe the listener can redo this. But I'm going to just read this as it is, and maybe you can help me decipher, all right? I have, texter says, a 2002 Ford F-150 that a power steering hose for your standing freezing rain has a hole in it leaking. Can I just replace the rubber hose and put hose clamps on it using sleep? Or is it a high-pressure hose and should be totally replaced, my taking off the fittings and the whole hose?
So if you're trying to replace a power steering hose, and it's a pressure hose, it has to be a braided high-pressure hose. The pressure hose would go from like the pump to the rack and pinion. If it's the hose that's going from the reservoir to the pump, or just a feed, no pressure, just a gravity-fed or a suction-type hose, it doesn't have to be that braided hose, which is obviously more cost effective. You know, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, no problems there either. Maybe you have to take it in to identify what that hose is, you know, get the price on it, do a little research on your own to determine if it's a pressure hose. You absolutely have to use the right part or right type of equipment to do that. And most of those are threaded on. It's not a hose clamp type operation. So if there's clamps on it, it makes me think it's a low pressure hose, not a fitting. But I'd be careful not to use the wrong product. And that, keeping that in mind too, you know, depending on the type of material the hose is, sometimes oils and fluids don't work well with them. They can deteriorate and cause them to leak or fail also. So do a little research. Don't just stick any hose on there. Make sure you know what you're working with and you have the right tool and equipment.
Makes sense. Thank you for that, listener, for putting up with my trying to figure that out. A listener wants to know, and we talk about the car, the tires losing air in the cold winter time, especially if it's outside. But this listener generally wants to know, how much can I overinflate, looking at the cold, what do you call it, the cold PSI? How much, basically they're saying, how much can I overinflate it, or should I in the winter?
So first determine that the recommended tire pressure inside your driver's door, in the jam there, there's like a placard or a decal that'll say max pressure cold. Maybe it's 32 PSI, 34 PSI. That's what the tires are on a cold morning. As you drive the vehicle down the road, hop on the highway, drive your way to work or wherever, with the heat created from that contact with the road through the tire, your tires will actually inflate a little bit, just a couple PSI, 2, 3 PSI. Adding additional air, I'm not against that, but it's also only a couple 2 or 3 PSI. I understand that maybe this texter or listener is trying to avoid the tire pressure getting just on that threshold where the tire light comes on.
Yeah.
And I'm on board with that. But I really do believe 2, 3 PSI is sufficient. Don't overinflate them 10 pounds of pressure, because now you start to affect the way the tire contacts the road. You affect how the tire wears. You affect how the car rides. So just a couple pounds, I think, is sufficient and should keep that light off and keep the ride and the quality of your drive the same.
Yeah, very good. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break. We've got some weather to talk about. Let's do that. Invite our listeners to join in. Keep in mind that Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45. So he's got about another 15 minutes here to help our CCO listeners out. So any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO, stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back to our car care show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. And Nick, we have a few before we let you go this morning. Here's the next one. 2018 Chevy Equinox. I have, Texter says, the stop-start feature. I found that if you gently touch the brake pedal before coming to a stop, it won't shut off. It will shut off when pressing the pedal hard. Cannot be good for the starter, all the on and off, so this listener says. But that's a feature, evidently, I don't know if it's particular with this particular vehicle or not. So have you ever heard of that, lightly touching the brake and it won't shut off?
I have not, and I would use your brakes as intended. To be careful. I mean, you know, I get it. People, it's different. It's a change. We don't like it. It's hard on the starter. It's all these things, and you know, yet to be proven. Starter motors have gotten a lot better. The engines spin a lot freer. So there's just a lot of things in addition to the start-stop technology that have evolved. So I don't. Like I said, I get the frustration and annoyance, especially if you're a little bit older. You're like, I don't like it. And I'm kind of on that same path myself, to be honest. But I also know for sure it's much better for the environment. It's less emissions. It's something that we're just going to get used to and adapt to, and it'll be fine. It will.
Well, I'm looking at another text that wants to argue that. Again, I have no idea. If this is accurate information or not, but I'm just going to read what this listener said. The auto on-off feature has added complexity and cost to cars, bigger batteries and starters. The data on improvement emission has shown no real benefit for average drivers, but added costs. EPA has recently stated that this no longer approach to reduce emissions. Okay, I again can't say that's a fact. I don't know. But that's just another listener's maybe informed opinion. We can do a little more research ourselves before the next show, maybe. Good morning. Texter says, I have a 2025 Chevy Blazer and have that stop-start feature. And I believe it's a good feature to help save on fuel and emissions. I've had it on my last two SUVs and have gotten used to it where I don't even notice it anymore. Love the show. Happy New Year. Well, see, there's the other side of the coin, too, another opinion. I think you're right, though. I think it overall, you can get used to it. Whether it affects the emissions that much or not, I don't know.
Well, and the batteries have evolved, and, you know, they're more expensive. That's true. And a lot of that has to do with electronics in vehicles. You know, obviously, the start-stop is a feature there. But everything's computerized. The batteries have evolved even before we had start-stop technology in our vehicle. So, it's probably a combination, but I can promise you a vehicle that's sitting there idle, not running, emits less emissions than the car sitting there running at idle. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. And, you know, that texter probably has some good research and information, and, you know, that might be true, you know, and I don't know. But I do know if the car's not running, there's nothing coming out the tailpipe, that's definitely cleaner than when the car's sitting there at idle, emitting the emissions. And even at that point, the emissions that come out of a car today versus even 5-10 years ago is much cleaner. So I, you know, there's a compromise somewhere in there, but I think this is technology in some capacity, probably going to be stuck with it. And I think adapting to it is probably the best path. And, it's not that bad.
All right. We talk about, as you know, Nick, from time to time about changing wiper blades, maybe more often than we should. We should change them more often than we actually do. But this listener wants to buy, but as he or she has read somewhere about winter wiper blades and wants to know, what the heck is that?
Well, years ago, it used to be that our wiper blades were that skeletal, metal-framed, where they had different touch points where they'd take the rubber blade itself, and that touch point would add a little pressure. So as I went across the windshield, it kept it try to flat. And, you know, because our windshields aren't perfectly flat, they're kind of, concaved a little bit, compressed a little bit. So there's a bit of a pitch to them. And so the wiper blade had to be flexible to make good contact. Well, they learned years ago at those metal framed wipers that the snow and ice would get caught up in there, and then we wouldn't have very good contact. You'd have a part of the wiper blade not making good contact. You had the big streak right where you were looking down through the windshield. You had a big streak in the way. So they made these booties that became part of the wiper blade to kind of secure them a little bit better. or keep them cleaner, I should say, free of ice and snow and such. And I think they did help, but that's been a long time now. I think for the most part, wipers have changed. They're using a lot more plastics, a lot more like a beam blade, meaning it's one composite piece, so you don't have to worry about that. And replacing wipers, as you mentioned, my truck's a little over a year old, and I replaced my wipers. I would tell anybody once a year is probably the right number, because I was like, you know, I, as you get older, you don't see as well as you know, Danny. And
well, I wouldn't know anything about that.
You know, we've had a lot of snow, a lot of, you know, light, white stuff come out of the sky as of late, and, you know, a lot of stuff kicking up off the highway. And I was like, boy, my windshield just isn't clear like it should. And, of course, I own car shop, so maybe I should put some wipers on. I did, and by golly, it worked. I could see much better. So if you're like, boy, I'm not seeing as well as I used to, these roads are these this and that, put some wiper blades on, you'll have a whole new perspective about the windshield.
Yeah, that really makes it. It does make a difference. Now, I got to ask you about the cost. Is it? Maybe it's not always true. Of course, not always. But some of these blades that I replaced on my vehicles, they're not cheap. I mean, the good ones. Does cost make a difference?
Yeah, no. As I say, you get what you pay for, and I would agree with that. You know, if you put the OE quality or light quality wipers on, they can be a bit costly. Those beam and prices have come down also. So I don't want to make it seem like it's unaffordable. But you know, getting a set of wiper blades, you know, once a year, or once every 18 months, or you know, depending on your drive cycles and your driving habits, is probably good maintenance. Definitely worth the price of admission. And my advice is, you know, you don't have to buy the very, very best, but don't buy the cheapest ones either. Maybe somewhere in the middle is a good place to land on the price point.
Okay, I think we have time for maybe one, maybe two more questions. Here's one, a 2006 Ford F-250. The truck has auto-locking front hubs and manual locking option. The auto function is working intermittently. They do work if I get out and manually lock them. What could be wrong with the auto function, they ask.
So what they're referring to is on some vehicles or some trucks, to put it into the four-wheel drive, the hub at each wheel, there's a pivot or a pin that it's been rotated to engage that front axle to get the four-wheel drive working. And auto locking means there's a solenoid or an actuator. Sometimes it's air operated or vacuum operated, so that might be a potential lead on a problem there. But that automatic system engages the axles just fine. If it's not, then you need to get out of the vehicle and manually yourself rotate that pivot point on the axle to get it into four-wheel drive. And as I think about this, I think it is vacuum operated on that vehicle. Take it into your shop. Mention that intermittent's not working. They can do a little investigating to see if there is a leak of vacuum or like a hose or a fitting that has failed that's causing that nut to work properly.
Before I let you go, one more question. We've talked about it over the years occasionally, and it's something I have yet to do. With some vehicles, like my wife's SUV, which is kind of a real truck, it's got a function where you can actually change the four-wheel drive system. It's not all-wheel drive, automatic stuff. You can actually change it to low to high, and you know what I'm talking about. Should that be exercised? I never change it. It's always kind of on automatic. Should something be, you know, given a chance to work before I really need it.
Yeah, I think that feature is mostly, you know, some older SUVs that are more, like you said, truck-like. I know most pickup trucks still have, like, the two-wheel drive, four-wheel high, four-wheel low, and sometimes auto, which I think my truck does. I leave mine in two-wheel drive most of the time. Obviously, I attach the plow to my truck, then it's in four-wheel high. Rarely, if ever, should you ever need four-wheel low, to be honest. And then the auto feature is kind of nice if you just kind of set it and forget it. But if I'm doing any real work where I'm worried about getting stuck or stranded or hung up on something, I put it into four high. And I do think exercising that, like a lot of the features, if we don't use them, how we know they're going to work when we need them, right?
That's
so
right.
Not that you need to do it every day, but if you think about it on any particular day, try it out. You know, we talk about the door lock cylinders, some of these other features that do need a little exercise from time to time.
All right. Nick, we're going to have to run. Happy New Year to you. And again, for those folks, we'll do this again next week. But for the folks that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find the Lloyd's on St. Paul?
Yes, sir. If you do have a question, as always, don't be afraid to call. We'll help you out. 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, 982 Grand Avenue, If you need any more information, you can always look at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Thanks so much, Nick. Again, Happy New Year to you and all the good folks at Lloyd's, and we will talk 1 week from today.
That sounds good, Danny. Thank you very much.
Thanks. So, Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.